This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
And it is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, toyotaofhollywood.com.
Thank you, Woody, and good morning to everybody. Yeah, you heard good win for the Panthers last night. The Heat out of it and just got their butts kicked. We'll talk a lot about that during the show. But also, we're fresh off the NFL draft, one of the greatest parties and shows we've ever seen. A guy that was right in the middle of it, Charles Davis, path to the draft, NFL Network, on the coverage for 3 days, NFL on CBS analysts as well. And I start this morning with my good friend asking, what was it like to see 200,000 people at a draft party at Lambeau? That's unbelievable.
Joe, it is unbelievable, isn't it? And I have to tell you, since the league started making it a road show, right? Because remember, for all those years, it's Radio City Music Hall. And, you know, that's finite number of people that can be in the hall, right? It's New York City, so you can't just have people just in the streets and all places like that. So it's a little bit different vibe. And that was a good vibe. Let's not kid ourselves. If it was still there doing that, it'd still be a good vibe. But when they made the move to start taking it out on the road and watching that grow from a little bit of uncertainty in the beginning, like, really, we're doing this? This is okay. First 2 years in Chicago, some bad weather 1 year. Oh, is this? And then all of a sudden it just kept growing and growing and growing. I have to tell you, every time I look out now, the first day, I look out and I see the people. You know what I think? Pete Rozelle, who was an incredible commissioner and helped usher in the NFL into amazing growth and put us on the path to where we are today, when they came in and told him, hey, we'd really like to televise the draft, ESPN, you know, and he was like, who would watch that?
Yeah, wow.
That was Pete Rozelle's reaction. And he finally said, yeah, sure, fine. He said, but, you know, no one's going to watch this. Like, yeah. Why would anyone watch this? I'm sure wherever he is now looking at it, he's like, this is unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what.
I can't believe this at all.
Charles, the stories that come out of it, and this one, this is a unique one. I know you've been beating it up for days, and I heard you for 3 days on the coverage with NFL Network, and you guys do a great job on that. But the Shedeur Sanders, and by the way, I have found over the last couple of days since the draft, all the FM stations and Women in the Morning, everybody's aware of it, wants to know what happened, what's behind it. And I know, you know, because what has happened is a lot of the media members that do this, the insiders, and you've been doing it as an insider, and the NFL apparently had a big disagreement on where Shedeur Sanders should go in this draft and the reasons why. What was your final take after having a few days to digest it?
Yeah, Joe, I think I'm still learning what my final take is because I'm still getting information and hearing different things. But as we sit here right now, the more you hear, you will hear a few more than a couple. You hear a lot of different things. But the way I boiled it down is simply this. We on the outside rated his talent a certain way. Those on the inside, 32 teams, their consensus was different. You know, I think all of us had him really as the second quarterback, probably a first rounder.
Yes.
Who might it be? That sort of a thing. The league told us, we weren't so sure about that. We're not saying that he wasn't a first rounder, but we're definitely not saying he was. So that was in the eye of the beholder. I talked to someone yesterday, a personnel director, and I said, all right, we've known each other for a long time. I need the absolute truth on this one. Where did you guys have him on your board? And he said, third to fifth round.
Wow.
I said, oh, okay. Now, I've not done a 32-team poll, but that was very interesting to me, third to fifth round,
right?
Because he went in the fifth. So all these things come into play. You hear that maybe he tanked interviews on purpose because there were teams he didn't want to go to. You also hear teams that just go, he did a lousy job in the interview. There were certain things that didn't happen. I think Albert Breer, who writes about the league so well with Sports Illustrated, he gave two examples in his latest article, I think yesterday, about, you know, one team sent him stuff. It's almost like draft day, Joe.
Yeah.
When they sent him the playbook and, you know, he didn't turn in the $100 bill or what have you.
Right.
You know, that sort of thing. This one, they said they sent him stuff with obvious errors in there that you're supposed to catch as a quarterback. And when it came time to talk about, he had not caught them or said he didn't see them or whatever. And they were very, you know, they kind of jumped on him for it. And he didn't like it very much. That was one story. And then there was another story about something else that had happened at a place, and he wasn't thrilled with the place, and he suggested to them, hey, you know, I don't know if you and I are a match anyway. He's telling them that. So you get that one that went. You got Boomer Esiason, my former colleague at CBS, who mentioned on his show yesterday that there were three different teams that he talked to with the owners – told them to take him off the board. We're not dealing with him.
Yeah.
So all this is swirling around.
Yeah.
Joe, all I'm saying is I know it's a lot, and after a while people keep saying I'm tired of hearing about Shador. But something you said early in this is the one that I have to think I want people to really focus on. People were asking about him that weren't connected to this thing in any tangible form. And I'll leave it with this. A friend of mine that I literally grew up with, we were in the sandbox together in New Paltz, New York. We graduated high school together. We've remained friends all the way through. You know, you have that group of friends you still have.
Yeah.
He texted me yesterday. He's on vacation out of the country. And he said he heard from his mother while he's on vacation out of the country that she said that she decided to not go to her weekly dominoes game on Friday because she didn't know what was going to happen with Shador Sanders, and now she was locked in. And by the way, it's the first draft she's ever watched. I have no explanation, Joe.
Yeah,
I really
don't. I got a lot of that, too. I got that from the ladies in my life were like, did he go yet? What happened? What do you think's going on? And I'm like, when did you get so into the draft? And by the way, the numbers for the draft for you guys is – well, as ESPN, everybody's numbers were so far up. It was just crazy. I got to ask you about another guy, and we chewed up a lot of time on that one.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No. It's a hot topic. The other one, quietly, is a guy the Dolphins got in the seventh round as a quarterback who played for Texas, Quinn Ewers. I thought he was a second or third round pick when he decided, nah, I may not be a first round pick, but I'm coming out. I know they're getting Arch Manning ready. And I know that he had some great offers for him to come back, probably $4 or $5 million offers to be a starting quarterback for another teams.
Yeah, and it just tells you about the quarterback market because we were just talking about where did, you know, this team have Shador rank? Where did that team have Shador rank? Yada, 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 right on down the line. It feels like it was across the board that maybe people weren't quite sure where the quarterbacks should go. We knew it wasn't a huge quarterback year compared to the year before, but this one was really all over the boards. You know, look, I didn't have Quinn Ewers going in the second or third round.
Okay.
But I didn't have him going in the seventh either. Yeah. Okay. So that just, you know, again, this is me on the outside. I'm not a team doing the full, you know, full scale scouting. But I don't know if this is a miss on his group's part. I don't know if he really was like, I don't care what the number is, I'm coming out,
true.
I'm going.
Because could be.
Joe, he wasn't going back to Texas even if he stayed. That was done. That ship had sailed.
Sure. Yep.
It was time for him to move, time for Arch Manning to play. But as you pointed out, across the country, if he had said, you know, I'd like to stay in school, he could have gotten Carson Beck money and maybe more. There's no telling. And I know this, after what happened at my alma mater, wherever he had gone,
good point.
He might have been able to make a double jump and go right to Tennessee because I'm pretty sure we would have been up for writing a pretty good check at that point.
No.
So, he's gonna make. He would have made more money back in school than he's gonna make as a seventh round pick. But if he hits somehow, he can make that money back by becoming a starter in the league. Although right now, when you're a seventh round pick,
that's a road to get there.
That's a tough one.
Yeah. Hey. So if you don't mind, I'm gonna go through the Dolphin stuff because people.
Sure.
We go early, big, the two biggest players in the history for the Miami Dolphins for first and second round. They went one guy big on defense and Kenneth Grant and Savanea. Yeah. I butchered it. I knew that was going to happen this morning.
I'm not sure I nailed it. Between the two of us, his family will give us both lessons.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
I'm going to have it down by the time everybody gets moved down here. But
yeah.
What'd you think of their first two picks?
Just what you mentioned, big, big people. Grant, really liked him a lot. Played next to Mason Graham. That's just a tough, tough road if you try to run the ball inside at Michigan. It makes sense. You know, he's a big-time player. He was going to go first round. This is not one of those, wow, the Dolphins took him and no one else would have. Someone was taking it. Plenty of people were. 13, look, that seems to be the perfect range for him. I think that's about when the bidding would start and take you all the way through, you know, 17 to 20, whatever. Savanea, second round. Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of first-round talk about him, Joe. He was a left tackle a lot of the time at Arizona. But moving inside the guard is where his future is. That's where life is going to be good for him. A big, massive, huge man to go inside. I think that's the best part where he's attached to people. And people on either side of him, and that helps him. I think it helps him in a big way. So I like those two.
All right. So then the Dolphins, because of trading up with Jonah to get him in, moving up at 37 to get him in the second round. So now they wipe out their picks and they come back in the fifth. Nothing in three or four and come back with Jordan Phillips, defensive tackle from Maryland. What'd you think? Obviously, they need some help on the D-line because Calais Campbell has decided to go to Arizona.
Yeah, he's a guy, a Tennessee transfer, and he has that scouting term, grade the flashes, and he's got some good flashes. You know, you'll see a lot of plays. I looked at him as a guy who likes to jump around a lot, like jump around blocks, get into the backfield, make big plays. I think he needs some consistency at the point of attack. You know, Jason Marshall, the fifth round corner out of Florida, was a massive high school recruit.
Right.
Like massive, all right, one of the top ones out there. Played in the SEC, obviously, so you know he's dealt with people who can run routes and do things. So getting him in the fifth, that seems about right. Dante Trader's a guy that I was crazy about in the draft, a safety out of Maryland. He's not going to win anything in the numbers game, Joe. Like, you know, when you start quoting numbers of him running, jumping, all that stuff from the combine, people are going to look at you like, what? I just have to turn on the tape and watch him play.
Yeah,
wherever
everywhere.
The ball is, Dante Trader's is where the ball is. He's a former lacrosse midfielder, so he sees the game with wide eyes. Like, so he sees the whole field. He understands it. He understands transitions, offense, defense, the whole deal. I just like him, and I thought he was really good the week of the Senior Bowl. But, you know, those guys, a lot of guys get lost at the Senior Bowl because we have a whole week to talk about players, and we can't talk about all of them. But testing-wise, not great. Turn on the tape. Pretty darn good. I'll put it this way. There's a bunch of guys in the league that one-on-one you're not crazy about, but 11-on-11, they play pretty well.
Yeah.
Dante Trader's an 11-on-11 guy.
I know a guy they're crazy about. Just talking to some people over the weekend is a running back out of Oklahoma State, Gordon. What'd you think of that? Had a great year 2 years ago. Last year the numbers were down. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I really like him a bunch, especially, you know, obviously we're talking about 2 years ago is what you're really, the tape you're really loving. This last year, three different offensive linemen, different from the year before. Things had changed a little bit. His offseason was a little bumpy, got into some trouble, so came into the season, you know, and had to get going there. But sitting down and talking with the young man, we got to interview him a little bit after the season and asked him about the difference between the year and the year before. And Joe never once mentioned, well, you know, the offensive line changed, the blocking wasn't the same, whatever. Just talk about what he didn't get done.
That's good to hear, man. Yeah,
and I really liked him. He's a big back, and I think the more he runs with his pads, which I saw more and more of at Senior Bowl during the week, the better off he's going to be. Because you know the flash and dash of the Dolphins offense. He can provide a little thump when he runs the ball.
Yeah, yeah, that's good stuff. And by the way, they do have to get the running game going. Who'd you like overall when everybody talks about names? Because you're so involved, like you said, with the Senior Bowl. The combine as well as the NFL draft coverage and getting a chance to see everybody for so much over the last month. What who won for you? Who'd you like? Whose drafts?
Well, I thought the Patriots had a really good draft. And it's so funny because when you really get down to it with the Patriots, they start to address a ton of needs, and the Patriots have a ton of needs, all right? Talked about it forever. They haven't scared anyone on offense in years. And so they get offense, right, because you got to help out your quarterback. You get Will Campbell at tackle. The offensive line's been abysmal. That's good. Travion Henderson, that's going to help Ramondre Stevenson because Ramondre Stevenson's a really good back, but he's not going to scare you again and break huge runs. Henderson can do that for you. Plus, he can pass protect. Kyle Williams, a wide receiver, Washington State, nice addition, really, really good player. Transfer from UNLV. Jared Wilson, the center from Georgia. Okay, David Andrews is retired. Wilson should start immediately. And safety Craig Woodson at Cal, I think you can compare him back there with Kyle Duggar, like right out of the gate. Joe, I'm talking about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys that should start right away.
Wow, that's a lot for a draft.
It is, isn't it? Now, in your time, if you'd had 5 rookies start right away, your team was headed for a 3-and-whatever season, right?
Yeah.
It's not like that now because you can turn things around quickly. Guys are a little more precocious, can play. I think New England is immediately better. Are they going to win the division? No. Are they going to go to playoffs? I don't think so. But they're immediately better, and in 2 seasons, they're going to be off. I'm not going to say they're going to be off the charts, but they'll be good. And I'll leave it with this. They also still have the remnants of Bill Belichick drafting there because you know who they drafted? Kicker out of Miami, Andres Borgalis.
Right. Yeah, Borgalis, good kicker.
Yep. And then they drafted a long snapper out of Vanderbilt, Julian Ashby. I started to laugh. I just said, they're still the Patriots.
Yeah.
But they had holes everywhere, including kicker and long snapper. So I like their draft a lot. And one guy I liked in particular for Baltimore was their first-round pick, Malachi Starks, the safety. I thought he was the best safety in the draft. Nick Emanuori won the combine at safety, and so everybody thought he was the top safety. But the league spoke. You know, we're talking about the league spoke with Shedeur Sanders. The league spoke here because Starks went in the first round. All those years we thought he was the top guy, thought he'd been bypassed. He wasn't. He went in the first round. Emanuori went in the second. So that tells me that on the boards, again, Starks was still the top guy. But you know the term in Baltimore, play like a Raven. They love that term.
Yep.
Malachi Starks plays like a Raven. I mean, absolutely, he fits their profile perfectly.
Boy, Baltimore's just got great safeties all the time. Oh, my God. Yep. They got that safety thing figured out. Hey,
he'll play center field, and Kyle Hamilton will play near the line of scrimmage, and that'd be a heck of a pairing right there.
Charles, I got one last question. I'll let you go.
Sure.
We talk about this all the time. It's been going on forever. What'd you run your 40 in and the 40-yard dash? And now, I'm actually watching NFL Network the day that University of Miami, the Cam Ward show, and it was delayed. Yep. It was all day. I was like waiting, and I was like, and the 40-yard dash comes up with Xavier Restrepo, who did everything possible in college, as much as anybody. Separation, block, route running. He decides to run a 40. He runs a 4.83.
Yeah, that was stunning.
And doesn't
absolutely
get drafted.
Stunning.
He didn't get drafted. I was shocked.
Yeah, it was stunning. All I would tell him, if I were in his camp, and he's not going to, why would he listen to me? Remember Antoine Bolden?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, one of the toughest, nastiest,
good
receivers we saw. He ran 4.81. Ran 4.81. And then he caught 100-something balls in rookie year and never looked
crazy.
Back.
Crazy, yeah.
Just go somewhere, run your routes, young man, catch the football like you do. The position he plays, a slot, we really use the term quicker than fast.
Right.
That's what you want out of your slot. Your slot does not have to be a flat-out flyer. He needs to be a dart. And Xavier Restrepo is a dart. And if he just goes in, does his thing, do all the things right, catch the football, all the stuff he's done before, he will have that opportunity. I'm not sure. Did he sign somewhere?
Yeah, he went with Cam Ward. He went with Tennessee right away. Cam brought his guy.
To me, that is a great, great spot because that's a place that they have not solved the slot receiver spot in a lot of years. And it was supposed to have been Kyle Phillips out of UCLA a few years ago. He kept getting hurt, never really worked out. They kept bringing in people last year. Those people are all gone. This is a great opportunity for him, and it's an organization that is thirsty for them to be good again.
Yep.
He will not be judged because he wasn't drafted. He will be judged if he does a good job on the field, and they will have no problem keeping an undrafted free agent if he makes plays.
So let me ask you, if you have a great year, and you don't think you're going to run a 40, do in today's game, do you decide and tell the pros you're not going to run it? Are you better off doing that?
I think in most cases you are, but, Joe, it is really hard to avoid as a receiver unless you are flat out hurt and you have the great doctor's medical report.
Yeah.
I think I told you this before. I had a scout tell me one time I was at a pro day and a kid had not run a 40, had not run a 40, said he was, you know, kind of dinged up and what have you. And the scouts were like, we got to have a 40 time on him. And he was a tight end. And so what they did was they said, okay, deep ball. And they put, you know, they dropped back. So we're going to throw a few deep balls. And then they put him on the line and said, okay, you're going to run up the seam, go. Just at the snap, just go straight up field. Don't do anything. Just go. And then one scout stood with the quarterback, said, go. And he had scouts on the line of scrimmage, and he had scouts 40 yards away. And the kid had no idea. And they said, go. And he takes off and goes. And the guy behind the quarterback said, hold it, hold it, hold it, throw it.
Wow.
And they make sure and click. And all up walked away with a 40 time.
Wow.
So don't think for a second you're going to totally out-foil them.
Yeah, they got it.
And you better be a top-level draft pick to get away with it. Most of the time you're going to have to run it, especially if you're playing a skilled position.
Charles, thank you, man. I really appreciate all the time early in the morning. You are an early bird there, bud. I appreciate it. I hope you get some time off. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Joe. You're the best. You take care of yourself. Right. Talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye. Charles Davis joining us this morning. Talk a little bit about all the draft coverage. He just spent 3 days with NFL Network. Appreciate him coming on. We want to go a little bit long, but we got a lot to get to here in South Florida, folks, a lot. So we're going to just tell you real quickly about your South Florida Chevy dealers. Never a bad time to talk about great products. And boy, South Florida Chevy dealers have never looked better, never had better products than they have right now. I thought 2024 was good. Now the 2025's come in. I go in there, they go, the new Tahoe's in. Do you want it? I go, heck yes, I want that bad boy. Suburban's right there. And then, man, I got in the midsize SUVs. I was looking at the all-new Equinox, and it's got so much to offer. To the 2025 Traverse, all that space. The 2025 midsize SUV is unbelievable. Spacious and comfortable, seating for everybody, plenty of room for everyone's cargo, that turbocharged 2.5 liter, and an unbelievable look. Hey, look, you want it to look good. Let's always start with that. Then you get everything else that's so important to you. Check out the trucks, man. Silverado trucks, strong, durable. Silverado trucks is what we're talking today. So you got heavy loads you work with every day, man. That's how you make a living, sometimes even on Saturday and Sunday. Well, they got a lot of choices for you. Four strong options, each one delivering commanding power, roll-formed high-strength steel, impressive cargo volume, 12 standard tie-downs, and the hardest-working bed in the business. Hey, you can conquer all your toughest jobs with 14 dealerships throughout South Florida. See your South Florida Chevy dealers today for outstanding offers going on right now.
The shake at center court for Kenny and Spo. As the clock ends the season for the Miami Heat, 138-83. You knew it was going to be a tough task against Miami, but there was no way to see these two beatings coming to end the season. The second one more devastating than game three.
There's a lot of, a lot of lows, probably more lows, but the thing that I'll always remember about this group was that all the adversity that we fought through it, you know, to end up playing our best basketball. You know, we were a couple of plays here or there from going 8 straight, possibly 10 straight, you know, go 10 down and then 10 straight. Like, it's that close. It would have been a great story. But more importantly, it's, you know, this league and this association, a long NBA season, you're always given that opportunity for that gift of adversity and, you know, to have a group that responded in the way that you wanted a group to respond, you know, to become more connected, to have developed more resolve to try to overcome, you know, things. It was a fun experience. I think I became better from it. I hope the players became better from it. But damn, it was humbling. You know, this series was humbling. These last two games were embarrassing. But Cleveland's also a very good team. We won whatever we won. They won 65. We're as irrational as we usually are, thinking that we have a chance to win this series. And they showed us why, you know, we weren't ready, you know, for that.
Well,
All my bags are packed, ready to go. I'm standing here outside your door. I hate to wake you up
and say it's over. It's over. Wow. I thought they'd get a game at home, man, the way they played in Cleveland. And Charles Barkley said they quit. They just flat out looked like they were just – but you lose by 55 points. I mean, these are really stupid numbers to lose by. You lose by 37 the game before. You got your ass kicked, and you got swept with the biggest broom possible. That thing, and you could have turned it off. I was going to say you could have turned it off after the first quarter. It was 43-17, but you could have waited around. They scored 72 in the first half, and it was bad across the board. There's going to be a lot of talk, and there's already started. I've noticed over the last few days that Kevin Durant and the Greek Freak, Giannis, coming, you know, we're going to – and finally somebody says, and we all been saying this, it's great. I'd love to have Giannis. He's one of three or four best players in basketball. Still young, but what are you going to give them? What would they – what are you going to give them, your whole roster? I mean, seriously. Spo put a nice spin on it. He should, because he's going to have a lot of those guys are going to be here. A lot of them are young guys. I can't tell you right now after that beating they just took. I don't know. I don't feel great about a lot of the young players. I don't feel good about anything right now. Even Tyler Hero the last couple of games. 1-for-10 last night, 4 points, 5-for-13 the game before. And I know they keyed on him, and it's good luck, man. And meanwhile, the other part of this that is reality is Jimmy Butler hits 5 clutch free throws last night to close out the game and gets a huge rebound and another tight, by the way, physical, ugly basketball game of two teams that truly don't like each other. Now, I'm not talking about Panthers and Tampa Bay. That's another one. He's hurt. He's playing hurt. They're talking about the guy played hurt last night, how injured he was. And then people are having fun with it today. I don't blame him going, yeah, he played harder hurt than any of the Heat players did last night. And sometimes when somebody's a lot better than you, I have learned through the year, sometimes when a team is so much better than you, like the 1-8 seeds in this series, it looks like you're not trying sometimes. It does. You're a deer in headlights, and it can look like you're really like, is that the best you have? And you're going, well, talent-wise, that is the best for this game. It was a humbling experience saying, God bless Pat Riley, because I can't wait to hear what he says and how they're going to fix this. With what you have, good luck. Good luck.
They've been doing all these trade scenarios.
Yeah, I know.
Barry was floating around all these Giannis ideas yesterday, and, you know, we trade Bam and everyone else in the first round picks. And I don't know, man. Giannis isn't having much success right now either with that Milwaukee team. That thing has not.
Well, Giannis
been,
has nothing to do with that.
I wouldn't say he's nothing to do with it.
Giannis
he's the best
has
player
no,
on the team.
That's
so
what
I
mean.
That's
Giannis,
a little bit.
Yeah, but.
But my point is that. Like,
I don't know. You
can't,
got off your point for a second.
My point
there.
Is that the Heat can't trade their entire team away and try to bring in one guy. But
mean, why would they? Why would they trade with us?
I don't think they're going to. I don't.
They're going to be better stuff out there.
I wasn't going to bring up Jimmy Butler today, but man, that's why you're in the situation you're in.
Well,
that guy is out there winning.
You had to get that in on.
Yeah, but he's out there winning games in the playoffs like he's done his entire career.
I know, and they're calling him playoff Jimmy, and he's playing like it.
Yeah. So that and that's why you just lost by 70 at home.
Yeah, 27 points for Jimmy last night.
What did they have at halftime? Like 30 points. That thing was so bad. I was watching the Panther game. And I got
16?
Caught up a little in the Panther game, and I went to flip over the Heat game. They were down 40.
What'd they have? 16 and a 17-point quarter last night. That was we're going fishing at halftime. I don't know what Spo says at halftime, except those people paid a lot of money for these playoff tickets. Can we play a little better?
It's just very disappointing that they didn't seem to have a vision for this season. When training camp hit, right? And you have this guy that you're asking about, you know, you got media asking him about his contract. He goes, well, I'm fine now. And then that thing derailed very quickly.
Apparently, they didn't have very good read on Jimmy Butler.
No,
because they would have never put themselves
through.
But
that's the thing, man. You got to have a little bit of a better pulse, a little bit of a better read on, you know, what you're doing here.
I think Pat Riley really thought, this is the only thing I'm going to say about it because I don't want to beat this up today.
We got
Panthers and stuff, but and they got enough. And they deserve to get their butts kicked for losing by that, looking that bad. But saying all that, you got to have a better read on Jimmy Butler before the year. And I believe Pat Riley thought he's going to go out and show me. I got him fired up here because he really wants to be here and he's going to play his ass off. And he knows I'll give him that contract. He just got to show me and play and, you know, a certain amount of games. And that wasn't the case. And by the way, Jimmy came out from day one and said, oh, hell no, that was over soon. It's basically he dogged me. That relationship changed. Well, why didn't you tell him that at the time?
So if Pat's going to stick around, which I assume he's going to, Joe.
He's not going anywhere.
He needs to kind of get with the times here.
He ain't quitting.
I know, but you just can't do this stuff anymore. I get it's the old school thing, and I'm not saying that it's right or wrong. I'm not here to say that. I'm here to say you can't do it anymore with today's athletes.
You know
that.
I would just tell you, and he was dealing with a dude that's got a track record of this.
Yeah, so but you know that not all the guys respond the way that, you know, 10, 15 years ago.
Like, I know. You want we do shows on it every day, man, and you defend the softies every day.
No. Stop saying that. I'm not defending them. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying that's how it is.
No,
you know
is.
That. You're on the Dolphins all day.
Yeah. I
you,
see
you
it.
Understand what it's like.
I see Tyreek Hill the way he acts, and I hear he's like the number one captain on the team over there, and he starts the meetings, basically.
I'm not here to tell people what's right and wrong. I'm here to tell you what the reality is,
no,
and
I got
that's
you.
It, man.
I do,
like, you
man.
Can't do this to guys. You can't call them out publicly in a postseason press conference and expect that they're all just going to come back with some fire the next season. And
I don't think,
you know, it's just not how it works anymore.
I think Pat Riley made a bad read on Jimmy Butler and didn't realize that he was going to Jimmy Butler you once you, I think he thought he was above that because of what he's done in his career, Pat Riley, and it backfired. Oh, did it backfire? Hey, we got to go to break. We got a lot more. Did I throw an F-bomb in there? I apologize if I did. I hope you caught it. Hey, I do want to tell you about Baptist Health South Florida this morning, man. One thing we can all agree on. Sorry, Baptist Health. I didn't mean to throw that F-bomb in there. It just slipped out. I get all fired up about this topic, man, even early in the morning. But I got to tell you, I get fired up about how good that sports medicine program is at Baptist Health South Florida right now. People ask me all the time, where do the pros go? And I go, Inter Miami, the Heat, the Panthers, the Miami Dolphins. FIU, FAU, a lot of our sporting events down here are all using those great doctors, that all-star lineup of doctors across the board that they have to take care of you. Top specialists that they've recruited. They realized years ago, if we're really going to be a top sports medicine program for all of our teams and for everybody that lives down here with so many sports, including now Inter Miami and all the other leagues of soccer for men and women and everything, We got to have top specialists for every part of the body, knee and shoulder and foot and ankle and hand and back and hip and knee replacement, Achilles. We got them all. We got them all for you. Covering Dade and Broward, three great facilities, Doctors Hospital in Coral Gables at Hard Rock Stadium right next to the training facility, and 595 in Pine Island Implantation. Just visit baptisthealth.net/ortho. One goal every day, no matter who you are, no matter what age you are. It's getting you healthy, back out playing the sports you love the most.
Jurgensen's behind the net. Point right side, a shot, and perfect stop by Rusty. The rebound, they score. And that was batted at in front. Looks like it was Chafee who got a piece of it. And this game is tied at one with 7:39 to go here in the second. Here's Gensel to Chernak, a shot. He scores off the bar and in. Top shelf, and Eric Chernak has given the Lightning a 2-1 lead. Ekblad hands there to Reinhardt. Reinhardt just inside the line. Long shot, save made, rebound, they score! And it's Aaron Ekblad crashing the net, and the Panthers have tied this game at 2 with 3:47 to play in the third. Aaron Ekblad picks up the rebound, and this game is tied. Long shot for the far point. They score! They score! This one took a bounce out front, and the Panthers have taken a 3-2 lead with 3:36 to play. Seth Jones put it to the net, and that one deflects in, and the Panthers are up a goal. 10 seconds. Puck play to the front of the goal. Bounces away. Rodriguez to Bennett. Bennett to the empty net, and he just missed wide. But the final horn will sound, and the Panthers take a 3-1 series lead. A 4-2 come-from-behind win here tonight for the Panthers over the Lightning. The Panthers will have a chance now to move on to round two come Wednesday night's Game 5.
I haven't been a part of the rivalry long enough to know the back history of it. I would say that you need different kinds of wins to win a series. Your goalie's got to win you a game. Power play's got to win you a game. Your penalty kill's got to win you a game. And then you need Lundell to score, Jones to score, Ekblad to score, not the names that you're always used to. It has to be those guys who step up. They had some big goals the other night from not their top end. That's the driver of this. For all of you who've watched the game for a long time, it's those guys, because they walk into the room differently tomorrow. And everybody's so damn happy for them, especially if they're the new guys, right? They come in and they want to be a part of it and they want to be impactful. So those goals are great.
That was your head coach for the Panthers. And what a win last night. Paul Maurice got to be jacked up, and he should be. That was a crazy one. I can't get enough of Tampa Bay and Florida Panthers. You just can't get enough. You look at that game last night and then whatever that thing was down in Miami last night. Boy, I'll tell you what, that is cream of the crop right now in this town, and one of the best products. This going on year three. They look so good coming from behind. There's a belief. They've got that. It's hard to explain, man, when you have that thing like tied or you're down late. You're like, no problem. We're going to come back. We're gonna win it. And they do, man. They were down. That thing was not looking good. 2-1 down and come back and get two quick goals, get an empty net, and just great stuff going on. And you heard it there. You get goals from Ekblad and Jones, and then – got physical, got a little payback last night. There's no question about that. Aaron Ekblad, I was shocked he didn't get a penalty. How do you not get a penalty on that one?
Well, he's going to get suspended, I would think, right?
You don't get a penalty, but you're going to get suspended.
I don't know, man.
Hey, I didn't see it. What did you see?
So they couldn't review that one. Then they go back and they review that offside, which was crazy. That was such a long sequence of play, and then they go back and they reviewed. I know it was. I'm not saying it wasn't, but, man, what a long sequence there. And they go back. Boy, Ekblad was determined to score, though.
Well, good
he
for him.
He knew he was going to get the blame for that one because his hit.
Yeah.
And then they go and they score twice.
That's
in 11
right.
seconds. So he knew that he was determined to score, man.
Well, Aaron Ekblad, it looked like it was this little payback for what you did to my guy Barkov. Those two been here a long time together, both first-round picks, and have played their careers together. And it was just a little payback for the couple original guys. And I'm going to do this for my guy. And he jacked him and knocked him out of the game. Brandon Hagel got knocked out of the game. And it was a
It's a good series, man. Those teams really dislike each other.
Oh, no. They say
really
it
do.
Like, I hate them.
Yeah.
And everybody goes, hate's a strong word. Your kids go, hate's a strong word, little Johnny. Don't say it. So, and I find myself going, I hate that dude. I really don't hate him. I just would prefer not to be around him. You catch yourself doing that sometimes, Woody, right?
Like, yeah.
I hate this dude, man. What a.
There's been a lot of cheap shots, though, in this series.
These guys hate each other.
Right? I mean, there's been a lot of cheap shots.
There have
Ekblad,
been.
I imagine, will get suspended. Mikula does the boarding thing, gets thrown out of the game. That was kind of a cheap shot, I would say.
You think?
But,
you think the guy's down here? I didn't jack you enough. Let me get you while you're down.
Let's put your face into these things, see how you do.
That was like, what are you guys doing, man? Let's get the win. And by the way, they got the shots in and they got the win last night.
They got very fortunate to get that win, though, man. They did mess around with that.
You know what, though, Woody? I don't think, we say this about the Kansas City Chiefs. First thing I thought of watching them, like, I thought they were done.
They went
under 4 minutes.
Saying, right?
They got it. And they find ways to win. And you got lucky. And then, you got lucky again. And I just think really good teams get lucky a lot.
I like they're comparing them with the Chiefs. You could sprinkle in a little bit of that officiating, too, with the no call on the elbow.
Boy, you're right. Hey, I got to tell you, you can
I know
be,
you don't buy into that.
No, you can be the biggest homer in the world for the Panthers. I'm shocked when I see him jacked.
He was very wobbly heading back, yeah.
And he was like, he didn't get anything?
No.
Well, there got to be a 2 minute at least in this thing. Like, and so I we'll find out for Tampa Bay's game. But, you know, they're going to pick up. You think we were a little chippy last night? They're going to come back now. You know how this works.
So. You can't get roped into that, though, man. I thought that's kind of what happened to the Panthers in the last couple of games, right? They seem to have gotten a little bit roped into this, like, you know, see which team can have more goons. And it's like,
by the way,
focus on playing.
I always wonder when you get a five-minute penalty or a power play, five-minute power play, what's a percentage? Like, you would think 5 minutes, man advantage, you're probably – yeah, score.
The power plays have been shaky for both teams.
No, they have been.
They've been shaky. I just think, and I think like Coach said, like the defensively, these teams are really good. There have not been a ton of opportunities.
And it's the time, and we had Ed Jovanovski on yesterday. He goes, this time of year you sell out on blocking shots, and you do things sometimes you might not do in a regular season, and now you're doing the little things and sprawling out on the ice as some guy's getting ready to fire some shot about 90 miles an hour. Anyway.
Just such a weird, weird game, man. Have both teams score that quickly.
Yeah, 11 seconds each. Never.
And it felt, for me, watch, like it felt like Ekblad was about to have like the weight of the world on his shoulders because that elbow did something to that team to rile them up, and they went and scored twice real quickly right after that, man.
How about the defenseman, too, scoring 11 seconds apart, as you heard Coach talking about? It wasn't Reinhardt, and it wasn't, you know, Tkachuk and all the other guys, and those guys get it done. So I got to tell you, it never gets old, man. These two, it just – they go at it, and, you know, again, they got to go home sick to their stomach, though. They're up 2-1. With what, 4 minutes left? Maybe a tad, whatever it was. And they got to be thinking, let's don't do anything. Don't do anything stupid. Keep. And couldn't do it. Couldn't hold it. So, and not only that, they scored quickly twice in that period of time. So, a lot of crazy, crazy stuff last night. We got to go to break, man. We got 7 o'clock hour coming up here. We do have a lot of stuff to get to here, man. Crazy day, by the way. Being in the business, radio talk show host, I wish our GM would call. I wish our GM would call us. I wish he's listening to something and he doesn't like it. I wish he'd call us and go, you know, I don't appreciate what you said. I'd like to hear that. That'd be a good one. Well, we did have a GM do that yesterday. We'll tell you all about that when we come back. A lot of stuff to get caught up with, a lot of news from yesterday. So stay with us. We'll have a lot more to get to before the 7 o'clock hour. And I do want to tell you, it is almost hurricane season again. Protect your home with Loctite Impact windows, doors, and roofing. Boy, if you've got that old leaky roof, I know what you're thinking. We're going to try to make it one more year. Maybe the big one won't hit and we can get through one more year. Come on, man. Stop it. Replace your old roof now and pay later. Loctite Impact offers the highest quality roofing materials with lifetime warranty plus thousands of five-star reviews. You say big on legendary state-of-the-art Impact windows and doors. Impact windows, low as $3 per window per month installed. Don't wait for the next storm. Visit LoctiteImpact.com. Again, that's LoctiteImpact.com or call 954-500-LOCK. Covering all of South Florida. Hey, talk to one of their professionals. Get started today with Loctite Impact.